This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
So tonight, have you turned to Joshua chapter 3. I won't have you stand because I am going to read the entire chapter. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over, passing over the Jordan River. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, "When ye see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore." And Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant, and pass over before the people." And they took up the Ark of the Covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of the Jordan, ye shall stand still in the river Jordan." And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, "Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God." And Joshua said, "Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he is without fail. Drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites," and I'm always stuck on this one, "and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down and from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bear the Ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all of its banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose upon a heap very far from the city Adam that is beside Zaratan, and those that come down toward the sea of the plain, even the sea salt failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground till all the people were passed clean over Jordan." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this evening. I thank you for giving me the ability to be up here tonight and preach your word. I ask that you will do that through me. Hide me behind the cross and let your word speak. I ask you to be with us tonight. Please help me to have what you would say, what you would have me say, and to proclaim what you would have me proclaim. Thanks for all that you've done and all you're going to do. Amen. So, the book of Joshua has an interesting backstory of what came before it. Here we see Joshua has just taken Moses' place over the children of Israel, over God's chosen people. And this comes after that Moses led the people out of Egypt while being chased by Pharaoh's armies, crossed over the Red Sea, and then wandered about for 40 years aimlessly. But God delivered Moses and the Israelites as he's delivering these people. But that time of wandering, though, is of interest. The time where the people of God wasted time, they worshiped false idols, they neglected to do the tasks of God. But tonight I want to talk about servant leadership in the eyes of Christ and on a biblical foundation. Because secular leadership is very different from biblical servant leadership. When we today think of secular leadership, we often think of someone that is a natural-born leader, that they know They know how to speak. They know how to act. They know how to inspire people. And that everyone else is just a group of followers, a group that is to be that is to do what has been told to them by a speaker. Biblical servant leadership is very different in the aspect that we are all leaders. I don't want to sound cliche like we're all winners, but we're all leaders because in the eyes of God, we are all servants. We are all called to be servants. So, this wandering time, this time where the children of Israel strayed away from God's teaching, from the mandates, and when they could have so easily gone over into God's promised land on the other side of the Jordan River. And this brings about something interesting, time. Time is this abstract thing that we use a lot. We waste time, we buy time, we save time, we kill time. Time can be the biggest stress in our lives, but yet we can also use time to do great things. In fact, if you'll read Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. A lot of people realize that God created those things first, but actually first he created time. In that it says, in the beginning of time, the beginning of the earth and of the heavens, just the beginning. And that God uses time as a measurement. Each of the first 7 days where God created something, divided something, or rested, they're measured in time. Time was the very first measurement ever used in the universe. So time is this thing of God. And when the people of Israel, God's chosen people, wandered like that, they wasted God's time. They strayed away from what they were called to do. They frankly just disobeyed. Now, the book of Joshua begins a military history that will go through what I would call the conquest of the promised land that God gave the Israelites that came out of Egypt. So Joshua begins this military conquest, and this is his first act, if you will, as a military commander, as the leader of the people of God. Now, what do we see about the different types of leader? Well, first we see Joshua. He is the most obvious leader that sticks out in our mind because he has been given control, if you will, of God's chosen people and what they should do. And let's look at the aspects that made Joshua's leadership not only great in what we would call the secular realm of leadership, but what made him great as a servant leader. First of all, he was called. Joshua was called by God, and that is the absolute first thing. Use the right tool for the right task. The same principle applies here. Make sure that you are fit for the task that God calls you. He was called. He was prepared. He had been with Moses. He had experienced that. Verses 5 and 6, we see what Joshua did. Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people." And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Joshua encouraged the people that he was given charge over. He encouraged not only the followers, but he encouraged and dictated the task to the priests and the officers. He told them what to do. He told them very specifically, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant." So we see that he encourages, a servant leader encourages. Now, verses 7 and 8, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all of Israel, that they may know that I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water Jordan, ye shall stand in the Jordan, in the river Jordan." So Joshua delegated the powers out. He understood his task, and he understood that each person in this chain of command kind of had their own special task. And he explains the delegated tasks of the priests and of the officers. And lastly, 9 and 10, he said, "And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you." And goes on to say all the words I can't pronounce. But that is the last thing he did before they accomplished their task. He went before the people and showed them to God. He said, come and hear the words of the Lord your God. He pointed them to God. That is possibly and definitely his most important power that he has been given when God gave him this charge over the people of Israel, to show them to God so that they may not waste any more time wandering in the desert, so that they may not do unholy things in the sight of God, so they may continue to be righteous, so that they may accomplish their task at hand, which is get across this raging river. Now let's look at the priests and officers, kind of that next level down. Verse 13, we see that they were obedient to the task. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from up above, and they shall stand upon a heap. So we learned already when we were talking about Joshua what their task was to be. It was to take up the ark and to go out before the people of Israel. And it was to, and they did their task. They accomplished their task. They understood that they were not the primary leaders. They understood that they were not in charge of the host of all of God's people. They understood that they had a position in this chain to be servant leaders. They served, yet they led, because as we read before, they went out before the people of Israel. So they, in their own right, are leaders and servants. Lastly, we see the followers, and they were obedient to the commands. We see, moving on down, and it came to pass, verse 14, and it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all its banks at this time of the harvest. So they did step out. They stepped out on faith. They stood only on God's promises as they watched this river that was overflowing its banks coming right at them. So everyone here had a purpose and a task delegated from above. They were to follow. The priests and officers were to go out before with the ark. And Joshua was to relay all this and to oversee all of this in the sight of God. So, and of course, the greatest thing that we can rest on, as the Bible says in verse 17, on down it says, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground. All the Israelites, not just Joshua, not just the officers and the priests, but all the Israelites, all the people that understood their areas of servitude and their areas of leadership, they all stood on dry ground. They all worked together and accomplished something. If only we could do that in America, amen. So I'll give you this example, and David talked about it really more than I thought he would, but he mentioned the play earlier that we're working on for this Christmas. David called me about this about mid-October and mentioned it, and I don't know if he mentioned it in a way that some people might mention this is one route that would work and would be cool if you can actually pull it off, or we're going to do this. So I wasn't for sure. Obviously, it's that we're going to do this because we're going to do this. But he called me, and he told me about this idea for a Civil War camp meeting style Christmas play. I'm like, great. What play author did you find to do that? And I quickly found out who he meant. And my first thought was, I've written some stories before. I've worked with the Park Service on Lookout Mountain, Chickamauga, and Kennesaw Mountain. But I don't know anything about writing a play. I know nothing about acting. Anything you see of me is just weird personality disorder or something. I don't know. But I quickly realized who God placed in my path. He placed people like Annette, who had experience directing Christmas plays in this church for his never mind, I'm not going to split hairs. He gave me people like Caleb, who in my mind is an expert when it comes to acting. And we talked about all this, and I got inspired, and we realized, hey, this is something we might could actually do. So the plan was I wanted to have the script written and done by middle of February. had it done before Christmas. It was amazing to me to see how God can work, how God can present an idea, how God can present a leader, how God can present supporting people who lead in their own rights, people like Annette, like Matt Holsey, who, and people like David who have continued to encourage me through this. And we all work together, and we've accomplished this. The only thing is we still haven't put it on yet. But that's coming. But it just amazes me how different people with different talents and different knowledge and different gifts can come together to further one project under servant leadership. But lastly, and I think the most important thing that we've missed in talking about all these servant roles, these leadership roles, is the step out on faith. Now, we look at this, like I mentioned, the history. The Israelites, the people of God, and God himself were tired of these people wasting time wandering around in the desert when they were presented with the promised land, when they were presented with how to get there, when they were presented with the promised land, somewhere to go, actually, out of slavery. But they were sick and tired of wasting time. They took up initiative. When God appointed Joshua in command of, or in charge of this force, in charge of these people, it gave them initiative. It gave them direction, if we could read back at the end of Deuteronomy and the beginning of Joshua. But lastly, there's the crossing. The crossing, which so many of these people had done before when they crossed from Egypt across the Red Sea while Pharaoh's legions were chasing them across it. Now, if you think about a sea can be calm at some points, a sea can be raging, a sea can be any multitude of power. But now a river, by definition, is always flowing. It is always rapidly moving in some way or another. And we see in verse 15 where it says, "For the Jordan overfloweth all his banks at the time of harvest." So not only was this river a river, it was an overflowing river. It was like that creek in the middle of Ringgold that always floods whenever it rains, even the tiniest bit, and you have to get on a canoe and go to Hardee's or something. This thing was overflowing its banks. So I couldn't imagine being one of these people, being one of the priests, the servants, or being one of, or being Joshua himself, standing at the bank of this thing, looking across it and going, yep. So this giant river, they can look to the right and to the left and see its power, see its flowing, rushing. And what do they have? They have the words of God, but so far they don't see action. All they have are these instructions: take the Ark of the Covenant and just step into the river. Now, instructions from God are great, but when you see that, you can see why these people might have been afraid, might have been a little nervous. But as scriptures foretold and as God promised, when they stepped on there, they stepped on dry ground. The water was cut off from above them, from its headwaters. And I can imagine some people that were part of the Red Sea crossing beforehand with Moses, those that were still alive, I can imagine them as they see that water stack up on the side of them. I can only see them going, wow, God's done it again. He did it for us before. We had an entire army chasing us, yet we wasted his time, but yet even though we did, God is still faithful. God's still stacking that water up against us, or up away from us, and God is still faithful even when we wasted his time, even when we wandered about aimlessly for so long. So what we see there is that all things work together. Everyone worked together in their servant leadership roles. God fulfilled his promise, as he always does. And they all passed over safely on dry ground. Now, what I want to point out about this is Joshua chapter 3. Joshua has just been given charge of these people. This is only the beginning. This does not include all the battles they're going to have to fight. This does not include all the trials they're going to have to endure. This does not include all the bloodshed and all the casualties that they're going to take in the coming time. This is only the beginning. God had promised this land to these people, but that doesn't mean other people are going to respect that promise. That doesn't mean other people are going to inhabit it and take it for themselves, when in fact God gave it to these chosen people. They had to take that land. And even though they were across the river, their greatest challenge still lay ahead. Places like Jericho, armies like the Hittites, places like Ai, as you read about in the coming chapters. So this is only the beginning. And what's amazing is when you read this, you know, you might imagine, oh, how could they do that? Well, what they didn't know is that they still had a great work before them. They still had an entire promised land to clear of people that would rather do them harm. So what I want to show you out of this is, number one, what God can do. Number two, what servant leaders can do. With all of them together, they accomplished this. With everyone performing their right task, not complaining, not questioning, but obeying, as the Bible said in this chapter, they got the job done. They accomplished this task, this seemingly impossible task. We all have seemingly impossible tasks. I know I'm a college student and I'm about to face a week of finals. We have seemingly impossible tasks. But when we not only trust God, but obey the specific instructions that God gives us in each situation, we're better for it and we ultimately survive it. So what I'm inviting you to do tonight is, if you are a child of God, if you are a person of God, to work together, to understand the place of servanthood and the place of leadership that God has put you in, and all work together to accomplish this. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved by the holy blood of God, I invite you to come and stand on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan River. How can you do that? Praying a simple prayer, repenting, and realizing that in God's eyes, everyone is a leader because everyone is a servant. And there is nothing more satisfying than knowing that you've served someone who can stop seas, who can stop rivers, who can crush armies, and who can make the most minute people and put them in great leadership positions like Joshua, who can use people to do great and mighty things. And I invite you tonight to stand on dry ground. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for giving me this message, God, and I thank you for letting me speak to others, God. I hope that it was a blessing. And I just thank you for what amazing stories and what amazing facts that you can give us from your word. I thank you for the history of the Bible, its historical context, and for the great, great applications that we can use it to apply to our lives. God, I pray if there is one here who is not saved, who does not know you from the free pardon of sin, that tonight would be the night. Tonight would be the night that they could stand on your promise and with your people on dry ground. Ask all these things in your great, holy, and wonderful name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.